What's up, y'all? It's your boy Vibes by Bray, because I'm always bringing you the good vibes, and you're tuned in to N5678, the podcast, where we discuss everything dance related beyond the steps.
Tuned into N5678, the podcast with Vibes by Bray, only on YouTube, broadcasted by Riverside.fm.
So today's episode, we have the one and only up-and-coming professional dancer, Shao Fierce. What's up, Shao? Oh, I've never seen that before. Did you see those little confetti come down? But yes, okay, Shao Fierce, can you go ahead and tell our viewers a little bit about yourself?
Hello, and I'm so happy to be here with you today, Raven. My name is Shalimar Brown. My performing name is Shao Fierce. I'm originally from Inglewood, California, by way of New Orleans, Louisiana. I have been dancing since the sixth grade, and I just returned back to it professionally about 5 years ago. And I've just been enjoying the journey and waiting and working for things to come into fruition.
Okay, so in your transition, what made you go back to dance? This is a two-part question. So for one, what did you do when you weren't dancing? And then what made you come back into that?
Amazing question. I did what a good amount of women do. I wanted to have a family. I was seeking to be married. So I was very much so in a committed relationship. Okay. I gave birth to my son in 2016. His name is Landon. I transitioned into a career as a full-time teacher. I am currently in year 8 as an educator. As an adult, you know, you got to put food on the table. You have to take care of your family. And truth be told, dance was never something that I wanted to do professionally. It was honestly a selfish thing, in my humble opinion, for myself. When I danced, it really was all about me. It was about expression and fellowship with other people. And it just was never an aspiration of mine to be a professional dancer. I just enjoyed dancing. And during my journey as a mother, things became very difficult in my relationship. And they turned really, really, really abusive. So in the city that I was living in at the time, Louisville, Kentucky, I started attending classes at a dance studio when I was seeking to move forward from that relationship. And it was more so from trying to heal and also just being out of that space. And in attending those classes and building community, which or within a city that I wasn't from, I was offered a position to teach at the studio that I was taking classes. And then it just was really up from there. I realized that it was something that not only that I still enjoyed doing, that I was great at doing, and something that I wanted to do full time. And I've really been dancing nonstop since then. I remember taking classes at least 4 to 5 times a week. And then we were making videos. And then again, I was hosting classes. And it was just such an enjoyable experience. And I've really attempted to put my best foot forward in making that a full-time thing.
Okay. I do want to touch on something, because you did say that you are in year 8 of teaching, right?
Yes.
How does that balance look for you where you know, you're teaching and then you're also dancing? Would you say that you're dancing full-time as well?
I would not say that I am dancing full time at this moment. I've had times where I've been able to dance full time. One of the wonderful things about teaching is that you get your summers off and that we do have breaks. And majority of teachers I know, their salaries. So it just allows me a lot of wiggle room to pursue what it is that I would like to pursue. But my aspiration of full time is just to not be teaching at all.
Okay.
In the education system and working full time as a dancer. So it's still something that I'm working towards. But I do feel like I focus on what I can do at this stage of my professional career and my training. Being able to be a full-time teacher provides me the resources that I need to train, and the finances I need to put myself in certain spaces. And I really, really, really commend myself for my commitment to the craft, for being a full-time teacher, but placing those resources and time and dance where I can. But it is something I've been working towards to do it full-time and make that transition out of education.
Okay, so do you have a time frame? You know, as performers, creators, dancers, all that, we have timelines for ourselves, but all mm-hmm. the time it's not our plan, it's God's plan. But if it was up to you, what does that time frame look like? Do you have it in mind? Like, oh, I want to be out of teaching in this amount of time.
I did, but every year I keep going back. It's something that I'm still pondering. I think when we're working on our own financial goals, whether that be purchasing a home, whether that be booking the perfect job, I do have an aspiration to build a business as far as vending machines are concerned. And like you mentioned, those things just take time. So I mm-hmm. think when I meet my financial bottom line, I will feel comfortable leaving the profession.
Okay, understood. Okay, so what does your training look like in Atlanta?
My training in Atlanta? My training has been a journey of finding out what works for me, especially tying that back into how do you find that balance with having a full-time career. Mm-hmm. What has been extremely helpful for me has been doing mentorship programs. Like I mentioned earlier, my schedule is just really hectic and my commitments are just vast. So when I am seeking to be in these seasons of training, it is very helpful to me to be a part of programs that create my schedule for me and provide the resources as far as like, hey, I can take this class, I can take this class. It just makes it a little bit more organized for me and my schedule. So I know when I first moved back to Atlanta, I had ballet private setup on Saturday. So I was doing that for like 6 months. Mm-hmm. I would have additional technique classes on Tuesdays. I would have my heels classes on Tuesdays. I would have my hip hop on Thursdays. So just being able to be a part of programs has really helped me. Being completely honest, I'm not an open class girly. I've definitely, you know, got up and just gone to class, but it just creates more structure for me when I am under the umbrella of a training program. And it's really okay. just because of how hectic my schedule is. So that's definitely what my training has looked like. And that's such a good question because I feel like as a dancer, you have to make sure that you're fulfilling those brackets of training that you need for yourself.
Exactly.
So for years, I had been just focused on heels and technique. And extremely empowering, like always will be a heels girly down. Okay. This season of my life, I've been dedicating more of my time to hip hop. So I'm actually a part of the Groove to Music company. And
okay. Shout out to Groove.
Shout out to Groove. My experience has just been amazing. I'm fundamentally trained in hip hop, but like I mentioned, literally for the past 5 years, it's really been mostly heels technique and hip hop on certain days. But it's just really been nice to get back to those roots and strengthen myself in all areas of dance. I'm seeking to incorporate more contemporary because these are all styles that I'm familiar with. But like mm-hmm. you mentioned, it's how is that set up for you in relationship to having a full-time career? And to be honest, I've just been doing what works for me.
Okay, and so how long have you been a part of the Groove to Music company?
I've been a part of the Groove to Music company since February.
Okay.
Yes.
So let me ask you, do you see, what kind of growth have you seen in yourself from February to now? Because it's been a few months.
Yes, it has been a few months. I've seen a lot of growth. Groove is really, really about that stamina. And being present as far as not waiting to show up. Like as soon as you are taught the step, execute the step. do it. You know, use your whole body the whole time. Learn everything full out. I have never had an issue picking up a step. Mm-hmm. It's, I don't know, these are amazing questions because it just reminds me of just thinking about my process and my journey as a dancer. So like, yes. My stance now in groove is really teaching me to think past some of the things that I've experienced. I brought up earlier, even the very reason that brought me back to dance, you know, the trauma in my own relationship. Mm-hmm. I was never a shy person. You know what I mean? That was never something that was a part of my experience growing up. But I think the older you get, life be life. You know what I mean? Like you go through things and sometimes it makes it very difficult to show up in places as your whole self, you know?
I definitely feel that for sure.
Yes. So I bring that up in relationship to groove is that groove is forcing me to think past that, like forcing me to get out of my head. You're in the room. You're in the program.
Mm-hmm.
You have the presence. The community is there. You have the step. You have the stamina. Just do it. Are you going to do it? Or are you not going to do it? That has really been one of the big lessons of my experience so far. The growth mm-hmm. is I'm ready to show up in the room and just do it and not worry about whether I can.
Definitely. I definitely do want to take this time to shout out Keith Andre, D-Ray Colson, and Gary Buford for the impact that you all have been making in the dance community with Groove to Music. Like, definitely yes. Shout out to y'all. So can you tell us a little bit about your stage name? Where did that come from?
Oh, what a question. I've become bashful about that because typically people will either know directly where it's from just based on the name. But, you know, as we get older, child, it's like, dang, the kids don't know.
No, for you real. Know, the times are changing.
Sasha Fierce, Beyonce, we not gonna do this, you know. But that name came from really Beyonce. Anyone okay. that is within my village, whether it's dance, whether it's education, whether it's my journey, proud graduate of Spelman College, literally, that's just me. I am a huge, huge, huge Beyonce supporter. Her presence and her as an individual, she just changed my life. Mm-hmm. I think we all could get into just deep conversations about Beyonce, but being a Black woman and coming up as a Black girl, she was just pivotal to my development as a person and as a dancer. And when you just see the commitment to who one truly is, it's just something to look up to. So people would just call me Shell Fierce. I learned all the choreography as a kid. Still know it. You can turn on Gimme Body. I'm a dance down, literally. And I don't know, this is weird. I never call myself Beyonce or anything. You know, everybody has that complex. But you'd be like, well, right. Beyonce. No, Beyonce's Beyonce. She's Sasha Fierce. I'm Shell Fierce. But just completely inspired. Beyonce has just been a critical part, again, to my development. Loved her commitment to becoming a more full-out dancer. I remember her, you know, hitting steps and just watching and hearing about her rehearsal hours. I just really, 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 really identify a lot with her career and her commitment to the craft. So that's just where that name comes from. And especially from that particular era, because I just was in awe. Radio was that girl.
Diva no, definitely.
Girl. Yes.
So tell me, how does Shell Fierce and Shalimar differ from each other?
Oh, I like that. I like that question. So it reminds me of Beyonce's interview from the I Am tour. Because they're mm-hmm. like, why does Beyonce and Sasha Fierce differ? Literally the exact same thing. Beyonce talks about how Beyonce is this shy, quiet, reserved girl that just want to be taken care of. I want my mm-hmm. man. You know, I want peace. I want to sit on a yacht, enjoy the water. I don't really want to be around people. And Sasha Fierce is like, well, this is my job and this is what I love to do. And I'm going out on stage and perform. It's quite literally the same thing. Shalimar is Shalimar, you know, I am tough, but very soft on the inside, you know, a lover of people, a lover of humanity, genuinely a public servant, complete adoration and appreciation for service to the community. And Shal Fierce is, this is my world and y'all just living in it. I'm finna get on stage and we dancing down. Those are the differences.
Okay, that's what's up. So how does that like shape your performance? Like when you're on stage and you're becoming Shal Fierce, how do you tap into the true being of who she is to you and what she means for you?
That is such a great question, especially because I am just getting back into that space. I have a feeling that we may circle back around to this throughout the interview. I don't know, Shal Fierce is just a movement. When it's time to dance, it's just time to dance. And it's just, it's so free. And I think any dancer or performer will tell you that it feels different when you step out there in front of people. And being completely honest and truthful with you, Shal Fierce, like the girl that would just get out there and step out and nod in her head, performing, giving the people what they want. It feels like I have been working back up to that. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
That was clearly like who I was as a younger person, especially when I was a kid and a teenager. She made her first reappearance during HemiFest last year. I danced in my frat, shout out to Delta Phi Delta Dance Fraternity Incorporated. In my frat's Josh Calhoun's set. And I just remember going out there. And when I left the stage, I felt, wow, she's still around, you know? And I have that transparent moment because I've been searching, you know what I mean? When you're on your journey as a dancer, you have to remind yourself that you're not working back to being who you were. You're finding who you are now as a performer. So that person that danced in that set and that person that shows up to rehearsal for Groove 2 to 3 times a week, that person that is showing up to rehearsals and is working now, I feel that I am this new version of Shal Fierce again. That person that shows up and I'm not concerned about what the step is. I'm not concerned about whether or not I can execute the step. Like I mentioned earlier, I just go out there and I do it because it feels good. I've trained and this is what I am made to do. So to end that, being Shal Fierce is just about the confidence to be who you know you are.
And that's truly inspiring because as movement artists, we need that reminder that we still got it. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes we're our own motivation because it's such a cutthroat industry. So those gentle reminders that comfort us and ease our minds and help us know that, man, I was made to do this. That's important. So I definitely like I resonated with that wholeheartedly when you said that I'm over here like wanting to shout.
Yeah, you know, I feel like even certain conversations can be healing spaces. I journal a lot, you know, like a lot. That's something that has been also very helpful as far as my dance journey is concerned. You said something so important. When you are aspiring to be a part of an industry such as the one that we are in, it is incredibly important that you are rooted in who you are and why you are doing it. And that it just takes a lot of work. You know, I've been having a lot of those conversations lately with other fellow dancers or mentees of my own and just reminding yourself why you're here and the work that you're willing to do to reach your goals and fulfill your aspirations. And it really starts with self first. You cannot allow others to dictate your path and your journey. Exactly. Outside of doing what works for you, you know, you make your plan and you take it from there. So yes, definitely.
Yes. Let me give you your flowers right now because I first met you doing Shamika Ann's private room. That's when I first met you. And then I had the pleasure of crossing paths with you again as you joined the Delta Gamma chapter of Delta Phi Delta Dance Fraternity Incorporated. And we've just been locked in ever since. Like, we always have like these transparent conversations about dance, our journeys. So I'm like, I have to have her on here, you know? But just to watch your journey and hear how excited you get about your growth, you being in Groove. You called me, told me you was in Groove. I was over here rooting for you. I'm like, okay, she's taking it serious. And I love that. And I love when dancers are so invested in perfecting their craft that it's literally nothing that can stop them. And I just want to give you your flowers and say that I am super proud of you.
Thank you.
So before we move on, I always want to take a moment because I do have sponsors. So I always want to take a moment to do like an outfit check because I have custom pieces that I do wear for the podcast. So I do want y'all to get into these shorts. As you can see, this is by Kata Cole. Yeah, I'm going to let you know how you can get these. So you can go to Kata Cole's shop. You can follow the link. You can also use my discount code Braven to get 10% off your online order of $25 or more. Make sure y'all check out the site. It's so dope. It's comfortable streetwear for dancers. It supports dancers and it also supports lovers of the art. So make sure y'all check out Kata Cole's streetwear for dancers. And now, this is the moment that we've all been waiting for, Shaw Fierce. I'm going to start calling you that. So this is our segment where the curtains close and the lights turn off. Let's get to the point. All right. So for you, as we stated, you are an upcoming professional dancer. Mm-hmm. And you have been doing different auditions. You've been training. You've been preparing yourself for greater. Now, what I would like to know, with auditions, when you don't book something, how do you stay motivated to keep going?
Such a great question. I just live by the mantra that all of us, all professional dancers in the community, I feel like everyone shares it, they post it, they say it in their speech. What's for you is for you.
Mm-hmm.
And if that wasn't for you, that wasn't for you. That doesn't mean that nothing is for you. You know, that's not what that saying means. Very simple answer.
Okay, I feel that. I feel that for sure. So in your journey, what are some things that you have learned about yourself in your pursuit of dance?
Some things I have learned about myself. In my pursuit of dance, that this is who I really am. I don't seek for anyone to understand my commitment to dance, especially as a mom and as an educator. I think that that's something that is showcased in movies. I mean, when you throw it back to Sister Act 2, when singing didn't put food on the table, but we all still know the choreography and the contribution to that particular character and those characters in that film. I think that that's either who you are and you're comfortable with that, or it's not. And that's not something you want to do. I am committed to my journey of dance. I've spent a lot of my life doing what has been expected of me and what I'm supposed to be doing as an educated Black woman with a very expensive and impactful degree. And I'm still going to use those things, but I am a dancer. I am an artist. I am an entrepreneur. I am committed to manifesting what God has for me in that space of who I was born to be.
I love
that. So I've learned that I'm committed to that, and that's who I am.
And that's going to get you far. And because the thing is, a lot of people think that dance is just dance, but this is why I am doing this platform, because dance is more than steps. You got knowledge behind it. You have passion behind it. You have a performance behind it. It's so many different aspects that will make you shine before you even hit the steps.
Mm-hmm.
And that right there, people are going to see that. People are going to feel that. And that's very important, especially when it comes to doing auditions or just showing people who you are. And that commitment is going to be seen. Trust me, for sure. So what are some challenges that you have faced on your journey and how have you overcome those?
Some challenges I have faced on my journey and how I've overcome those.
Mm-hmm.
To be completely honest, one of the biggest challenges that I have faced is that and I'm silent because I want to make sure I word this correctly.
Okay, take your time.
As a professional dancer, but also as a person born within the space to dance, it has been very difficult to find community. As I mentioned earlier, I never wanted to be a professional dancer. And I say that to say I was still professionally dancing at the time. But that's just, again, as a kid, that's who I was. I just happened, God just put me in those spaces without even having to ask. So I was brought into dance with more, we're all great, and that's why we're here. You know, I didn't have to do anything special to be somewhere. And I say that to say it feels a little different when you get older. You know, where you may be seeking to dance with someone, others may be seeking to dance against you, you know, or they want to book, may not want you to have it, you know. And I go into that to say that that has been a very difficult aspect of the journey, that people will choose themselves over you, you know. And I say that in a light as someone who values community.
Absolutely.
Everyone is not your friend. You're not going to mesh well with everyone. And not only do you have to be okay with that, you have to be where your heart calls you to be. You have to craft your relationships how you would like them to be, with keeping your goal as a professional in mind. I think, again, being completely transparent, it has been very difficult to be in spaces and not know if you're moving towards your goal and you are being helped, or if those spaces may not be good for your development as a dancer. Mm-hmm. And I consciously state those things because I do think that I have experienced and witnessed journeys of people feeling like they have to do something or feeling like they have to be somewhere, and it may not be bringing out their best self. And that's okay. That doesn't mean that space is bad or the experience is bad. I think for me, what has been the most difficult is trying to be confident in doing what's best for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way that I can word that. Because like you mentioned earlier, the industry can be a very...
very cutthroat.
Yes, very cutthroat. Very, very cutthroat. And not only do you have to have a tough skin, I just think that you have to have what works for you. And outside of doing the work, you just have to be in places that you are getting what you need to get to where you need to go.
Amen to that.
So much pressure. Like, there's so much pressure to do certain things and be certain places and just be a certain way when there's space for you. You have to find it. Outside of working for it, you have to find it.
And you have to come into the industry knowing who you are.
Exactly.
Because the industry.
We talked about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have to know exactly who you are and whose you are. Stay grounded in the word. Stay grounded in your beliefs. Mm-hmm. Don't be stupid. You know what I'm saying? But right. Don't allow anybody to change you, because, again, this industry will eat you alive if you don't know who you are.
Exactly. I used to say this all the time because it meant so much to me. Like I mentioned mm-hmm. earlier, like I lived in Louisville, Kentucky shortly after I graduated from college. And just as an observer, like before I started to travel here and train and take class, I would always look at the captions, you know, of some of the dancers within the community. And just, you know, there was like this unison of people talking in languages like they felt like they weren't good enough. Like, I don't want to post this, and I didn't want to share this, and I felt anxiety about posting this. And I mean, it was loud. And I'm one of those people, like, I see things. You know what I mean? And it always, to be honest with you, broke my heart to see that, you know, mm-hmm. To see that, not just that people felt that way, but even some of those individuals just walking away from the craft. So many people would say, you know, I didn't even want to do that anymore. So circling back to just knowing who you are, it's why I opened up even our answers to our questions today. I've really been focusing on self, especially at this stage of my journey. Because if you let someone tell you who you are, you're not going to make it. You have to know what God has equipped you with. You have to know your skill set. You have to hone your talents. You have to focus on your mental health. You cannot let people dictate what God has for you. You're either committed to it, or you're not. That's either who you are or not. And that has been the most empowering takeaway from my journey overall. Once you make the choice to do it, don't let anybody take that from you, whether or not they even feel like that's the right thing to do. Because I think, you know, there's all sides to different things. You know, when you get criticism or people are pouring into you, and like you mentioned, like, how do you feel when you don't book this job? Well, hey, that just wasn't for me. That doesn't mean that I'm not great. And I think I desire to also see dancers doing more of that work. Yes, it's discouraging to continually get passed over. Those are conversations that I feel like dancers have all the time. But you have to have faith that God will make room for you, that your gifts will make room for you. And you have to believe that. You have to believe that. And I believe that.
Definitely. Okay, so I do have one last question for you. So in your pursuit, what is it that you would want to happen for you that makes sure that you're going to book the job that you want to get?
What you asking what my dream job is?
No, not your dream job. So like, what is it like on your journey? What do you think needs to happen for you in order for you to land that job?
What needs to happen for me?
Yes. Like if you could have it your way and say, this is what needs to happen, what do you think will get you to where you want to be?
Strangely enough, we kind of talked about that earlier. I really would like to leave teaching full time. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just the reality. You know what I mean? I love my kids. I have been a committed classroom career teacher. But the reality of it is, sometimes I'm not able to go to all auditions. You know, that sometimes mm-hmm. in the middle of the day, they post them the day of. I see it on my phone right there while I'm teaching.
And you probably like, oh, why is this happening?
Yes. Yeah, so I had to repeat that question because I wanted to make sure that I had a concrete and not a theoretical mm-hmm. answer.
No worries.
I'm not oblivious to the fact that I don't want to say you cannot balance two careers at once, but just the nature of the dance industry and anything in relationship to film and TV, it really just requires that full-time commitment. So that's what really needs to happen for me. I really would like to transition out of teaching full-time.
Okay, so to wrap this up, do you have any advice or words of wisdom for dancers who are out here that's in your same position trying to make it, maybe have a full-time job? Like, what words of wisdom would you give them to stay focused and keep pursuing their dreams?
So much advice, but I will chalk it up to remember why you love dance. That's really why we're all here. Like, that's who we are. You cannot lose that in pursuit of making sure your feet are perfectly pointed. You know, the sweat and the icing and the heat of the pain from rehearsing or taking class. All of those things are part of the journey, but you love the feeling that you get. Just remember why you love dance. I don't think I've ever met someone that did not love it first. Like, mm-hmm. that is what they've enjoyed doing. In certain spaces, I've seen that periodically erase why you loved that. So just always remember why you love dance. And secondly, develop and stay committed to the discipline it takes to be a dancer. You need to be stretching every day. You need to train and be in classes. And if you're not going to go, download Steezy for $29.99 a year. There's promo codes. Learn from home like we used to do back in the day when we were mm-hmm. learning the video, the choreography from the videos. A lot of people had things to say about COVID, but I was really impressed with the dance community and our commitment to still training within our craft. I use that as an example because you have to do the work. Those are the two areas. Remember why you love it, because that's what puts you in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But train and have the discipline to actually be effective at your craft. That's what keeps you in the room.
Say that again. Yes. Okay. So can you please tell everyone where they can find you on social media platforms?
You can find me on Instagram at Shall Fierce. That is like my main source of communication as far as my booking information, my resume as a dancer. I do not have a TikTok yet. I need to get one. I actually serve as PR chair for the Delta Gamma chapter, so I just have not had the capacity to create a TikTok as of yet.
Gotcha.
But I can be found on Instagram at Shall Fierce, S-H-A-L-F-I-E-R-C-E.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us. This concludes this episode of In5678 The Podcast. It's your boy Vibes by Bray. Please be sure to follow us on all social media platforms at Vibes by Bray and stay updated at In5678 The Podcast for all of our latest updates and episodes. This is your daily reminder to always remember to dance like nobody's watching and love like it's never gonna hurt. Once again, shout out to Kataco Streetwear, Felicity Digital Lab, and Rager Worldwide LLC. Until next time.